Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth. It's great to have you here. Good to be with you. This is episode 32 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday the 29th of May 2019, and today's guest is Roslyn. Roslyn is my mum. I got to interview my mum. I'm so excited. I thought that as you'd heard about mum and dad so many times on this podcast from different friends of mine, that we should actually talk to mum and dad and find out a bit more about their philosophy of life. So yeah, today we get to listen to mum talk a bit about her life. And it was just so fun to talk to her. And although I know, you know, a lot of the stories, I don't actually know all of the stories, and I learnt new things in this interview. So I'm sure even though you might know my mum very well, you'll learn new things. If you don't know my mum at all, it is my great pleasure to introduce her because she's a fantastic person. So isn't that nice? Anyway, yes, that's today's guest. And we will do dad. We will interview dad at some stage soon. Just setting up a time to do that with him because he has things on his plate and I have things on mine, as you know. Actually, the setting up of the interviews, that's the fun bit, really, of this, you know, ringing up people and saying, can I talk to, and everyone says, but afterwards they all say, oh, that wasn't so hard after all, because it's not. So if I am ringing you and asking you for an interview, remember, it's not so bad. It's actually quite fun. I don't make it hard. Anyway, yes, this week in my life. Well, first thing I wanted to say was that we, last time I looked, we were at 2,997 listens to this podcast, which is pretty cool. And so I'm sure by now we've ticked over to 3,000 downloads and in 23 different countries. So really amazing just how it goes out. It's exciting. But, you know, always remember there might be someone around who needs to hear this, who will find it encouraging, and I really encourage you to share with anybody who you think might enjoy this podcast or might find it encouraging, because that's what I want to do, is to get it out and to build that community I was talking about last week. I hope I was talking about it last week. I know it was in my blog. This idea of community is just, the more I look into it, the more important I think it is, just how important it is to reach out to each other and to build relationships. And I'm hoping that this podcast will be a place where people listen and they feel part of an online community, which I know is not the same as an in real life one, but it can also be a wonderful thing. I know there's one of our listeners, Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn. She listens every week, and every week she sends me a little message on Facebook saying, who's the podcast about this week? And I say, oh, this week it's my mum talking about classical music. And she says, oh, I look forward to hearing it. And I just, you know, it lifts my spirits just to have that interaction. This is what I'm about. I just want to build community through this. So, yeah, 23 different countries building a bit of community. I know that some of those are one-off listens because somebody's friend has been on, but I don't care. I'm just so excited that these stories are being heard and told. So, yeah. Remember that if you leave a nice review for me on iTunes, then that also gets the word out as well, or just go and click as many stars as you feel it's worth clicking. That would be great. That would make a big difference to me. It is something I definitely can't do for myself. Other things in my life, it's a shame to me. It's a sad thing, but I think I have got busy again. I didn't want to be busy. I never asked to be busy, but things creep in, you know, and they just add up. So yeah, it's been a busy week. There's a lot. I do a lot of editing work as well as this podcast and my writing, and I actually enjoy everything I'm doing, which is one of the difficult things, because I think we've gotten to the point where I need to sit down and make some hard decisions about what I say yes and no to again. And I've written the book on this. I have. I've written a book called My Year of Saying No. So I feel very guilty about talking about feeling busy, but it's just amazing how things add up. And when everything is something that you love or you believe strongly in, it's very difficult to make that decision about what stays and what goes. So you can pray for me about that. This is something that I'm working through at the moment. It's so much easier to work through it for somebody else too. So I sat down with Moz last week and helped him sort of figure out where his limits should be. Now he's in a much better headspace. He's going to sit down with me and help me figure it out. So thank you, Moz, for that. I'm not looking forward to it because I don't want to give up any of these things that I'm doing, but I'm sure we'll have wisdom when it comes to it. I don't want to burn out either. So that's this week in my life. Just normal stuff, but lots of it. But last Saturday, I took the day off completely. I sat and read books. I went to the library. Just basically sat around all day and rested, and it was beautiful. And this Saturday, just looking at my calendar now, looks like it's got nothing planned as well. So there might be another good bit of nothing happening this Saturday, because that's my day off, my Sabbath day. Sunday is more often a day of work for me. Not that I'm an official pastor or minister or anything, but still seems to be a working day for me on Sunday. So yes, I am looking forward to having a proper day off on Saturday, which will be my Sabbath. So I encourage you to do that too. It just makes such a difference to have a day where you do nothing or do delightful things. So yeah, I don't know what we'll do on Saturday, but I'm hoping there'll be a bit more of sitting in front of the fire and reading a book, because I'm telling you right now, it is cold here in Tasmania. It is raining as I speak. The rain has snow in it. The temperature was 6.5 degrees when I got into my car this morning. It is cold. Winter is upon us, and that's cool. That means lovely open fires in our house and pumpkin soup and staying warm however we can. So yeah, that's the week in my life. I hope that you're having a good week, and let's have a listen to this lovely interview with my mum. Today's guest is my mother.
Oh,
how am I supposed to transcribe? So my mother, otherwise known as Rosalind Langlois, and mum has three children. I have an older brother and a younger sister, so I'm the middle child. And she has two grown-up grandchildren, a favourite granddaughter and a favourite grandson.
Absolutely.
Very handy. Mum's worked in many different positions and done many different things. She's a concert pianist, so if you're watching the video, you can see the grand piano behind us. And she's a choir conductor, and she gives wisdom to many. Very true. I wrote it, but I mean it. And she's been the vice president of a radio station.
True.
She's led worship in all sorts of different situations, and she composes music as well. And there's more. There's so much more. So welcome, Mum. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely to be here.
Different kind of interview, I think, having your mum, but it's fun. How did you become a Christian?
Wow. Well, I think it started pretty early, because my parents, your grandparents, were both Christians when I was born. So my father had been studying and studying theology, and mum, I think, she had told me about when she became a Christian. So I was born into that atmosphere. But I was in Sunday school and in choirs, and I think I loved the Lord all the way along there, you know. There was every reason to love him and no reason not to, you know. But of course, as I got older, there were situations that were, I suppose, sort of crises where my decision was to go with following the Lord. And I'm just trying to think what some of the major ones of that would be. I think that there was a point when Billy Graham came to Australia, and he went all around the nation, and Dad decided to go and to take me. So I suppose we, you know, we wanted to be in on it, or I wanted to be in on it.
Mm. How old were you then?
By this time I was 14. So, I mean, I'd definitely been a Christian for quite a long time then. And, you know, it was an amazing meeting, because I'd never seen so many people stack a football ground in North Hobart for that purpose. Mm. And it was just lovely to hear the gospel preached. And we did go forward. Dad and I both went forward. Which was, I suppose, affirming, you know, the fact that I wanted to follow the Lord.
Because Poppy was an Anglican minister
by
the stage, wasn't he?
Yeah, so, and he was a Christian.
And he was
Anglican
a Christian,
minister.
Yeah. But yeah.
Mm.
When you went to uni in Melbourne, so Mum attended the Conservatorium of Music in Melbourne, was that a challenge to your faith?
No, I don't think it was a challenge in the sense that, you know, I felt there was any attack on it. I think that I'd learnt over those years, because I had to be away from home even in high school years, you know, to go to school. And I guess I'd had the opportunity to, you know, make either decisions that, you know, that were following Christ or not. And I don't mean, I mean, I was not, not that any of us are, but I mean, I certainly had things that weren't right and I had to repent of and things like that in that stage. But when I went to the whole thing of going to Melbourne was itself a gift, you know, and it was amazing, because at the beginning of that last year of school, which was year 12, I didn't know what I was going to do, you know, and I was given the privilege of being the head girl of the school, and so, you know, I was pretty engaged with what was going on there, and lovely things were happening in the school in terms of the other girls coming to the Lord and that sort of thing. But when I went to, when I was approached by the education department and asked would I like to have this scholarship and go and study music at Melbourne, I mean, it was...
Wow.
I can't remember Mum and Dad and I having a conversation about it, but it must have been a mind blower for them as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was very exciting, and I knew that was the Lord, and also the music teacher I had at Melbourne had been my examiner for the associate piano exam. And I sensed that he believed in the Lord, you know, and sure enough, that was the truth, you know. So I had a very good piano teacher and felt the support from him, and I think I linked up pretty quickly with the groups that were going, you know, the Christian groups at the uni, because the con was sort of close to the rest of the uni, was part of the rest of the uni. Yeah, so I mean, I really could be who I was, and I think I had a lovely red coat that was, you know, my sort of the mark of who I was.
Cool.
And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, I was short and I had my little red coat and I came from Tasmania.
Little red riding
down there. And you know, opportunities came along very quickly for the sort of development of, and I think I always was able to, you know, say that the Lord had, or expressed that in one way or another, that it was what I was doing was enabled by the Lord, and which it really was. And there were plenty of situations where I needed the Lord's help, because, you know, I I did have relatives in Melbourne, but we couldn't see them. I couldn't see them very often. They were in a completely different part. So I was very much on my own, and so there were things that had to work out through prayer, which included financial things, you know, and where I was going to stay, because of things weren't always easy that way. So there were lots of opportunities, and my faith was just being built in one thing after another. I remember there was a situation where I was acutely conscious of not having enough money because my shoes were wearing out, and I did a lot of walking, you know, and I didn't have the money to get them fixed up. And so I remember saying something to my teacher, I think, it was piano teacher, about pennies from heaven or something, just joking around. And, you know, within a couple of days, I'd received from Tassie, from people who were close to Mum and Dad, the first of a number of cheques which came regularly.
Wow.
To help me get through. And so, you know, the pennies came from heaven.
So I was going to ask, you know, what made you and Dad decide to become missionaries? I think we can't go through Mum's whole life story. We don't have time. So yeah, I was going to ask this: why did you become missionaries? But it sounds like it's a very natural outworking. You were already sharing the gospel with people all the time. You already had faith, provision, and all that kind of thing. So it sounds like it was a very natural next step for you guys.
Yeah, I guess it was. I'm just, that is a big leap from where I was. And so, you know, my brain has to go on fast forward.
Sorry.
Yeah. Fast forward to where we were. Well, I think it's John's story as well as mine, of course, but I think that John had been, he'd heard from his uncle and auntie such fantastic stories, you know, of how God had provided for them in all sorts of situations. So John having, you know, sort of, what's that saying about, hammered his flag, you know, to the mast.
Yes.
as yes, Lord, whatever you want. He was very open on that level, and so was I, because, you know, it was a wonderful time, actually, that time of our life, in the church as a whole, in Australia and in our state. And, you know, people were rediscovering just how near God really was, you know, and how he did call very personally, how he did provide. And so we were both very open to that. And that's exactly where we didn't know what that was going to mean. It meant quite a number of different things, really.
Yes, because you started, when I was very little, you started in a rehabilitation sort of centre, living by faith there, and then you moved to a children's home, and then you joined Youth with a Mission.
Was, again, very much living by faith.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of money.
No.
Ever. Plenty of experience, yes. But not a lot of money.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So classical music is obviously a very huge part of your life, and sharing God is obviously a huge part of your life. How have you been able to share God using classical music?
Yeah, that's been lovely, really, because I've found that people in all sorts of situations are very open to hearing you play the piano, you know. Well, in my case, that's been what I could do. And in a way, I just had to be prepared to open my mouth. And I didn't always feel as if I was, you know, as overt as I might be. I was wanting to do that, and I'd pray about that, whoever I was with, because I worked with some excellent musicians, you know, and then, as you said, you know, just playing to people. But after a while, I got the message. You know, God knew exactly what he was doing. Mm. There were situations where I could be very overt, and there were others where people are not dumb. they hear where you're coming from. Mm. And it was a really fine musician. I probably shouldn't name names, but someone who I worked with quite a bit is a brilliant Australian musician, string player, and we were in the middle of a practice and somehow just talking about who we were came up into our conversation, and he said something to the effect that, oh, it's very evident, you know, where you're coming from or what you, but not in a reactive way. Mm. It was just in the conversation that we were having, which was very reassuring. Mm. Because I think I'm not the only Christian who's sometimes thought, you know, how overt should I be? Because sometimes you feel as if what you could say would be like utterly, you know, not part of that particular conversation, but... But there is a way of just following through in a conversation, which is just very natural and not forced, and doesn't make the person feel, oh here I am, I'm, you know, going to hear it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So not Bible bashing, but just as exactly. It naturally comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm.
And then, so after YWAM, you and Dad joined Christian Performing Arts Fellowship. You want to tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I think one of the really exciting things about that was how God got our attention.
Mm.
And actually, we were at a radio conference, because that was when we were in Christian Radio in Hobart. And I didn't find those conferences terribly interesting.
Not exactly Mum's kind of music.
Well, it wasn't even just the music. There were technical things. Yep. You know.
Yeah.
Oh. But I was at them, so I was there. And there was this particular session, and just before it, I don't even know who this person was, someone came up to me and said, "You're a musician, aren't you?" So it was obviously, I think we were in Melbourne, this person said, you know, "You're a musician, aren't you? You might enjoy this," and handed me a book that was called The Lives of the Great Composers by Patrick Kavanagh. And so I thanked the person, because I had something interesting to do now through the meeting. And I sat down in the meeting and just flicked through, and oh, there were, you know, things on this composer and that composer from over the centuries. And then I got to the end, and it had you know, mission statement of the Christian Performing Artists Fellowship. And as I read that mission statement, it was just like an electric shock went through me. And I thought, oh, this is so exciting. This is just what we're on about. Because at that stage in Youth with a Mission, we'd been, when I say we, there was another lovely staff member who was a musician, and we'd had music camps and, you know, reached out to young musicians in Hobart and so on. So this absolutely fitted in that, you know. And when I went home from Melbourne, this other staff member and I talked together about what we'd seen, and I wrote a letter to Patrick Kavanagh. And a few weeks later, when I wasn't in any way thinking about it, in fact, I think he woke us up from sleep at about 7 o'clock in the morning, which we probably needed to be woken up. But anyway, it was this Patrick Kavanagh, and he said he was really interested in coming out to assist us with the music camp, and that started off this whole wonderful relationship with Patrick and his wife, who are both wonderful musicians, but also with lots of other great musicians in in the US, and students who came from the US, but some came from Australia and some came from Russia and Latvia, and it was just wonderful. Yeah,
because CPAF has a big summer camp, doesn't it? Where Christian up-and-coming musicians from all around the place, as you say, get together and learn music and also learn about God.
That's right. Yeah, Bible studies are a very important part of it. And, you know, John and I were both available on the counselling staff, and so it was a very holistic sort of thing. But it was really saying God is the giver of all these, whether it's operatic singing or acting, you know, or playing the piano. God's the giver of the gifts, and you can revel in those and share, you know, that he's the giver of the gifts. That's your witness, you know.
Yeah, because I think there's this thing in performing arts with Christians where you're concerned about whether you are giving enough of a witness, and you've had that same question. And as a writer, you know, the encouragement is then to write something really overtly Christian, which often sometimes goes badly wrong. You know, it becomes cheesy and or in Christian music or in Christian movies or whatever. In classical music, you don't even unless you only play Bach, I guess you're a bit stuck. So yeah, that message that, as you say, God is the giver of all these gifts, and just by using our gifts to his glory, we can be a witness.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that was such a major thing in that whole ministry, and I'm sure it still is. It's going on. But, so that was how things unfolded there.
Packed up from Tassie and moved over to the US.
Yes, I'm sure you remember it.
I do, because I had little babies.
And that was the challenge. I think all Christians will have to meet that challenge at some point, you know, where you do actually have to make a choice, you know, that if that's what God's saying. And it is very challenging. And it is very difficult, and sometimes I've found, as I've looked back, not on that particular instance, but some other things in our life, I've thought, now, you know, did we really get it right, Lord? You know, was that really you? We thought it was. I hope we were right. You know, and you can really only just, you know, hand it over to the Lord. And but so it was very difficult to leave family, to leave our immediate family, yourself and Catherine and Anthony, and then particularly this new generation coming up, you know, because you know you're going to miss out on all sorts of things. But we couldn't get away from the fact that the Lord had called, with every bit of understanding that we had, that that's what it was.
And yeah, God has been faithful in terms of your relationship with my children.
Yes, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's so lovely. Faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also in terms of our relationship with your generation as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that there haven't been things that we've had to work through, as all families have, but we're just so blessed by, you know, that relationship, the relationship with our own children, who are not children anymore, adults.
Yeah. So speaking of challenges, can you talk a little bit about the challenge of Parkinson's?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I can. it is a challenge. It's an interesting thing to be, you know, to be told that you've got a disease like that. But it's this is what sort of came to me in the initial years, that I could pray for healing for me and believe for healing for me. But it very quickly came to me that there are thousands of people, just in Australia alone, with Parkinson's. It really is a disease that a lot of people have, and let alone other parts of the world, you know. Especially the Western world, I'm not sure about other parts. But anyway, So, having this thought that there were so many people with Parkinson's, the thing to do would be to pray for research, you know, and that answers would be found, because there are very few answers when it comes to Parkinson's. But the interesting thing is, in the years that I've had it now, that there really has been quite a discovery of potential reasons. It's still not absolutely secure, but even without reasons, things that you can do. So, you know, I'm involved now in the lead light sort of, that I'm trying to think of the actual term, but there, it's like...
infrared light study that you're...
Yes, and it's using...
Yeah.
Just using ordinary people to be part of that.
You have to have Parkinson's.
Yeah, that's the only
that's
thing.
That's the only thing.
So, you know...
Yeah, and I'll put a link to that... the blog about that on the show notes, so people can read up more about that study.
Yeah. And for us personally, so that's for John and myself, because, you know, John is my husband, is very, very much a part of this whole experience, because with having something like Parkinson's, you do need a lot of support, you know, and so John has embraced being not only my husband but my carer, which has, you know, is very challenging to think that you need to have a carer. If I've got to have a carer, he's a very good carer to have, let alone the rest of the family. So another wonderful thing with this prayer about, you know, the research and the Lord giving way forward, which we can see that various things are coming to light now. But we've met some fantastic people. And again, it's like when I went to the conservatorium, it's like the Lord has opened the door on relationships. So there's a young professor, well, I think he's young, he's probably, you know, mid-40s or something, and he's very keen on, he's at Sydney University, I think, anyway, at university in Sydney, and he's getting some light on the subject, but that, he was just so happy to be supportive of us, and so we've got to know him and his wife, and another lovely doctor, she's supposedly retired. She's also a musician in the north of the state of Tassie, and she's, you know, very, very much following and supporting me and us, you know. And it's just fantastic who God leads you to, you know. So there are some very difficult things about the actual condition. You know, I don't recommend that anyone... wants it to happen, but you know, it'll be all right.
There, yeah, good things can come out of it.
Good things can.
So, when do you feel close to God?
That's a really lovely question. That's always a filler, that one. I've noticed that. it really is. Well, I love worshipping God, I love playing and singing and being with people who love, you know, whether it's by myself, but often, you know, with others. I love that situation of, you know, having the freedom to sing, to speak out prayers. But I think that... there's been so many situations where I've been in need and I don't necessarily feel anything in particular, except that I know I can call out to God, and I do, and it's just amazing. I'm sure John could tell stories. I don't know if he'd tell them, but they're great stories. Like, you know, where is my phone? You know, I can't find it. Well, I mean, I know there's that way of dialing the number, but sometimes or wallet, you know, and I say, Lord, would you just help us find it, because we need to get out of here pretty quickly, and John needs his wallet. And, you know, he finds it really quickly.
Mm.
I love those things. But there's far more to relationship with the Lord than that sort of thing. He's just so kind and humble, I think, in letting us ask him about anything,
yeah,
run of the mill.
Yeah.
But also, you know, big things where you're just crying out. And we've had some real cry out situations, and we do right up to the minute. And it's wonderful to be able to just, you know, let the Lord hear. And it's so amazing how I think in the scriptures we're really encouraged as to how real we can be with the Lord. I mean, it's silly to pretend with him because, you know, because he's happy. Like, well, those wonderful stories with women of Jesus, both before and after the resurrection, they are so marvellous. And when you think of the fact that women were not held in very great esteem at all at that time, but Jesus, I remember hearing years and years ago on an ABC broadcast that this young woman saying that Jesus was the first... what's the term?
Feminist?
Yes, the first feminist. I thought, oh, that's a good one. In the sense of honouring, you know, honouring women. He just honoured women.
Yeah.
And protected them.
Yes.
You know, leave her alone. You know, this thing that she's done is going to be told all over the world. And sure enough it is. Yeah. You know, we're in the place to be able to say, that's true.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Up to date, right up to date.
Yes, I never thought that I was brought up as a feminist, and then I realised that, yes, you were actually a career mum. You know, it never occurred to me growing up, but you were actually a career mum.
Mm-hmm, that's
true. And as a woman, I've been encouraged by you to follow my dreams and do whatever's there in front of me, which I really appreciate.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
What's one thing about God or Christianity that you wish everyone knew?
Well, I think it's very much off the top of my head. Again, this is a fantastic question. That one thing that I wish everybody knew, that God is utterly approachable.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, awesome and... amazing beyond what anything we can imagine in terms of character and you know, understanding and knowledge. I mean, it's God we're talking about, so you sort of run out. But it's the nearness and the personalness, I think, of God. I mean, I'm really glad that in our hymns and in some of the awesome music, you know, that has been composed for the glory of God. Here, a little allusion to Bach there. but, yeah, I think that the thing is that he understands us. I mean, right from the beginning of the Old Testament on, you see God who is approachable as well as the awesome.
Yeah.
God, somehow all of that comes together.
Yeah.
Well. Super.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. That's all my questions. You made it through. Thank you very much.
It's lovely to talk to you.
It was good.
Always lovely to talk to my beloved daughter. And the other daughter and the son.
Yeah. No, this has been awesome. And don't worry, I'm having an interview with Dad later. I just need
can't
to
wait
in it. So thanks so much, Mum.
Great pleasure.
Well, I hope you can see from that why my mum is such a loved person. I thought it was a wonderful interview with her. Next week I talk to Margie. Margie has worked as a nurse in all kinds of scary places, Democratic Republic of Congo and Papua New Guinea up in the mountains and all over the place. And we have some great stories from her. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music, and new member of my team, Matt Dobson, thank you so much for transcription. Remember that you can email me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, find me on Facebook or on Twitter @A Quiet Life, and I'll chat to you again next week.